This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob. Take a couple more calls on the Pirates, the Clemente flap. By the way, Andrew Heaney with a big performance yesterday.
Yeah, it was a shame.
10 strikeouts. I mean, well, they won.
But I mean, it's a shame he didn't get a decision because I thought he pitched well enough to do it. And yeah, he was in control. And you know, his fastball really doesn't top more than like 90, 91 when that range. But he knows how to pitch. He has one of those veteran attitudes. He knows where to pitch it, where to locate it, and guys can't hit it.
That was a big performance that they needed. Let me ask you this. Given the Bob Nutting quote where he essentially said, I've done everything I can here, it's up to you guys now. That's how I would paraphrase that quote. Do you think that's fair? And what kind of start would it take for them to move on from Shelty and or Charrington? These feel like, to me, gigantic series now within the division coming up.
Well, if they start really bad, and let's say they go, you know, 2 years ago
they were
20-8 and got a new contract out of the result of that. If they start 6-17, 8-21, something crazy like that, then yeah, I think there would be.
Do you think it would happen?
I honestly don't, only because he has him signed. If he's going to make a move, it'll probably be at the end of the year.
See, I disagree, although I'm definitely acknowledging that you could be right there. He has paid people not to work in the past. When he got rid of Hurdle and Huntington and Coonley, they all had time on their contracts. I think the fact that this quote is out there now is indicative of the way he feels. And I actually do think something like, you know, an 8-20 start may prompt him to move on from the manager. Not both, although you could certainly you could certainly argue that, but I don't think both. I think he would move on from the manager. Limits, what do you think?
I agree with you, Joe. Like, I think that if this gets to the point where even if it's 5-16 or just continues to spiral where it seems like the players are not playing for Shelty anymore and it seems like the enthusiasm is just completely taken out of the clubhouse, that they will have no other choice than to make a move. Is it realistic? That's where I come down a little bit more in a hands-off approach.
More realistic than I would have thought before that quote came out.
Yes.
And I'll say this, too. Jason Mackey had a column in the Post-Gazette that seemed to be sort of along the same line of thinking that Bob Nutting is putting out there. Jason wrote, and I quote, they have enough talent. I don't agree with that. Do you, Bob?
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
I mean, sight for me with the talent, other than Cruz and Reynolds, where else is their talent? There is potential talent. But I don't in the lineup itself, unless Ke'Bryan Hayes turns the corner, becomes the kind of hitter that they, you know, one day envisioned him to be, you know, if Henry Davis comes up and does what he's supposed to do, Joey Bart's off to a terrible start. I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, no, I think they need more talent. I think especially hitting talent. They don't have enough hitters.
What about the talented Jack Sawinski striking out with the bases loaded, Bob, and again is hitting about 150?
I will say this. That was a big steal, but I agree with your general sentiment.
That could have been disastrous if he got thrown out there.
I know. I thought it was an alert baseball play myself.
It's funny how those things go. When they work, it's an alert baseball play. When they don't, you're an idiot. How can you possibly get third base thrown out?
I know.
Just like G1 Bay.
All right, let's go to the lines.
All right, here is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Talk to Joe.
What's up?
Joe on Joe.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. So the way that I look at it is in 2030, in 5 years, in all likelihood, the Pirates, they're not going to be relevant. They'll probably be below 500. I'm going to be 40 years old next year, so essentially my entire life I haven't had my favorite team be relevant. For what I would do in the next couple of years, the only players I would not trade in our system, well, the only player would be Bubba Chandler. And as much as I like Tamar Johnson, even Connor Griffin, I know he's young, I know he's still a teenager, they're just assets. So dispose of those assets, try and get a couple bats, and go for it in the next 3 to 4 years, because, again, in 5 years, they're probably not going to be any good. And
Joe, that's what I was thinking this offseason.
Yeah, me too.
I'm baffled as to why they wouldn't trade from a position of alleged strength, which is young pitching, for a young bat, like a dynamic bat. They're so desperately in need of something like that. And then, man, I don't know about you, and I appreciate the call, but my eyes were open with Thomas Herrington. And I hope that he is a location guy who's going to be a good pitcher. But he's their number three prospect. And, Bob, it's just very tough to survive if you're not getting a ton of swings and misses and not overpowering people these days. It could be done. It can.
Well, Andrew Heaney showed you it could be done, and that's how you do it.
Yeah, man, he's had an okay career. Not great, but
no,
okay.
No, but, but when he's on, he can do it by location, location, location.
But. For sure. But I don't think Harrington's an electric talent as their number three prospect. I tend to have visions
of
Quinn
John
Priester.
Ben Skoten, you know, one of those kind of guys. Or yeah, Quinn. And by the way, he was just traded to the Milwaukee Brewers, Quinn Priester.
Was he?
Yeah, and they got a competitive balance pick back. They got a top 30, 40 pick in the draft.
That was a little surprising, but they got one.
You know who we got back, Bob? Nick York hanging out in AAA while Valdez is here.
Why can't he or Cook come up? I don't understand that.
What about that play in extra innings yesterday where it was Kiner Falefa throwing a dirt ball over to Valdez?
Yeah.
And that's the thing I always say about first baseman. Everybody thinks it's so easy. And maybe it is compared to other positions, but man, there's an art to it as well. And you sure notice when the plays aren't made, don't you?
Yeah, and then you look at the other side where Goldschmidt been digging out stuff in the ground for his whole career, and he's good at it. And that's a free agent signing that could have helped them this year.
You can't just throw people at these positions. I don't even know where he came from, and he's made a couple
hits,
contributions,
yeah, at bats. But it's the merry-go-round right now, Joe. At first base, who else wants to play there? Triolo, Valdez, Andy Rodriguez. Anyone else want to step to the table?
If I told you, by the way, with the Heaney Harrington comparison, that Thomas Herrington would be an under 500 pitcher, and I know record sometimes not that important, with a 4.4 ERA for his career. How would you feel about that? I was hoping for a little better.
Yeah, I was hoping for better
with
too.
with what I read about him, and maybe he will be.
Yeah.
Like he's only had one start, but what I saw, I was immediately struck by. This doesn't really look like, you know, an electrifying talent type guy.
He looked nervous too, though. And he shouldn't be nervous, at this point. But yeah, I get it. I want to see more from him. I'd rather see him right now in the starting lineup and Majinski in the bullpen. They need right-hand pitcher in the bullpen.
It's a tough way to live when you're living all on location these days in the majors. Maybe any days, but it feels like especially these days.
What are they doing with him right now?
Majinski?
No, Harrington. You call him up. He makes a start. He's not scheduled to start in this Cardinals series. His next turn would have been today. They instead go with Majinski. I heard they might do something today where it's Majinski pitches like 3 or 4 innings, and if he can't go any longer, Harrington will come in and piggyback off of him. Like, why? I don't get it.
I don't like that. But their bullpen has been totally gassed because they're using it all the time. And yesterday, the thought was you would have limited access to your bullpen. He pitched a good game. You got everything you needed. Then it ends up going 11 innings, and they use the entire bullpen again.
By the way, did you guys see Paul Skeen spoke to Gormley the Owl over at the Trib? Did you see those quotes?
I saw a press conference he had. Is something other than that?
No, maybe it was that. Maybe it was MLB.com. But I'm reading the quotes in Gormley's story here. He says, of the higher-ups, including Bob Nutting, they want to win, we want to win. Obviously, we're not doing enough right now to win. You can put that on whoever's shoulders, but we've just got to get back to execution. Fans aren't in the building behind closed doors seeing what's going on. I think a lot of the time they don't get the full scope of things, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways, says Skeens. But at the end of the day, we've got to play better. And then he said, Bob, of Bob Nutting and company, they listen to what we think we need to do to win. Mr. Nutting is very approachable. He's willing to listen because he wants to win, which is good because that's not the picture a lot of people paint of him. Wow. So for now, Skeens is very much towing the company line. I wonder how long that would continue, and I would hope if him and the other players approach Bob Nutting like he says they have, the first thing I would say is you got to spend more and bring in some more bats. So, but it's interesting to me that Skeens is very much towing the company line as of now.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think he's one of those guys who's going to come up and disrupt everything at this point. He's still a young guy. He's 22 years old. He's in a leadership capacity because of his abilities and where he is. But I wouldn't expect him to go out and immediately trash them.
Me neither. So, but there's a difference between that and saying and going to the lengths to defend Nutting, where you say he's approachable, he's willing to listen because he wants to win, which is good because that's not the picture that a lot of people paint of him. That's going to the mat for Bob Nutting. Yeah, that's going to the mat.
It is. I just don't think this has anything to do with approaching him. Yeah, you approach him. Sure, he should listen. It's what he does after he listens. That's what we should judge him on.
Well, yeah, happening? I mean, but for this, the purposes of this discussion, I'm interested that Skeens went above and beyond in defending him. That's your best player. Your best player saying to the world, this guy wants to win. You might not think so, but he does.
If you listen to me, I have always believed that he down deep wants to win. It's just you have to be willing to take different risks in business.
Well, of course he wants to. Business. As I've told you many times, Bob, I wanted to marry Jennifer Aniston at one point. We have to live in a world of reality.
Right. The point is you got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to do it. That's how it works. Whether it's investing in your developmental system, whether it's free agent signings, of which they've only had one since 2016. And Michael Kay made that very aware in the broadcast, if you listened to them yesterday. So that was one of those things that...
Do we have that clip limits? This is Michael Kay and the Yankees. And, believe me.
It's the national perception is what it is.
Yeah, but also the source here. It does bother me
it's the Yankees,
little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
From the Yes Network.
You know, we talked about the Pirates not doing much at all during the offseason. The free agent contracts they signed for all one-year deals to veterans, kind of flesh out the roster, Pham, McCutcheon, Heaney, no multi-year deals. So I looked this up, John. The last multi-year free agent deal they signed was in November of 2016, Ivan Nova.
2016?
Yeah, last one.
Wow.
And their owner has been here at the ballpark this weekend, and he's getting jeered every time they see his face.
Yeah, we've noticed for 2 days already, especially on opening day, the frustration of the fan base here in Pittsburgh. And it's such a great sports town, great sports fans. They're craving a winner again here with the Pirates.
And you can't...
Now, some people would say, consider the source again, easy for them to say, yeah, while they throw around billions. But I would also say this, that from the perspective of the big market teams, we'd all love it if the Pirates were throwing around money like that, if they were a big market team. That's A. And B, they do give the Pirates and others a lot of money. And they wonder, those owners and obviously people around the team wonder, what are you doing with the welfare revenue you're getting from the bigger market teams? Why is your payroll so low? Why haven't you signed a multi-year free agent since Ivan Nova? What are you doing with the extra cash? I understand that part of it too, Bob.
No, I do too. And that's the thing. Where does it go? And short of opening up every book and showing them how you spend your money, you're never going to know the answer to that. So, again, to me, it's all about the Major League Club. It's all about how much money you're spending on your roster year in and year out. And they have not done enough. And they haven't done enough for a lot of years.
One more thing from Skeens to MLB.com, and I quote, he said, Bob's willing to listen, wants to win, which is good because that's not the picture a lot of people paint of him. Skeens then says, the only difference is we're going to win a little bit different than the Dodgers and the Yankees, but we're going to win. How about those words, Bob?
I would say then prove it. That's all. If you're going to win, you got to stop doing some of the mistakes that we've seen, whether it's running bases badly, whether it's errors of commission, whatever the case may be, they're making a lot of mistakes. For a team that wants to play with small ball, you cannot make those mistakes.
Yeah, and I don't buy the whole winning in the margins thing either. It's not where you win. You win with big bats stars.
You need a bat who's going to his swing and account for three runs with one swing.
You win with stars. Oh, by the way, that reminds me of the Bob Walk Zangrilli conversation the other day, Bob. And a tease ahead to this, I was listening, and it was a great conversation. After the game, I think it was after the opener, right around 8 o'clock, driving around in my car, and I thought Bob Walk and Zangrilli were both good here. I agreed with every syllable that Bob Walk said, and it gets to this point of, and this is me, not him. This is me right now, which is this whole theory out there that Shelty's thrown out there that the Pirates, oh, we're going to win in the margins with smart base running. Do you think you're going to be, and little things like moving runners, first of all, they don't do any of that. Secondly, even if they did, even if they were the best team in the league at moving runners along and making the proper throw to the proper base every time, you really think that would be the difference between contending and not contending? The difference is, how many stars do you have? How many great players do you have? I get tired of hearing about leadership and camaraderie and winning in the margins. Give me a bunch of jackasses like Barry Bonds and let's win. That's how you win. Give me a bunch of guys who hate each other's guts like the Bronx Bombers and the Oakland A's, the bickering A's of the 70s. Give me a bunch of jerks. I don't care. Give me a bunch of jerks who don't even know how to play baseball in the margins but can hit and pitch, and then let's see what happens, Bob. I think that whole thing is a line of baloney.
Yeah, no
matter winning
how,
in the margins.
No matter how much you do in the margins, you have to hit with runners in scoring position, and the Pirates have not done that. Their average reflects that. You can get everybody on base, steal what you want. They already had 20-some stolen bases, and yet it really hasn't resulted in run production. So you got to be able to hit, make big plays, big times, and it takes – better players to do that.
Like how much better are you going to be in ideally, even if this were, if they were a great team with the details, how much better are you going to be in the margins than all the other teams? You really think that's where winning resides, in the margins? Like barely detected? No, it's very easily detected. It's the guy who stands at the plate and puts a ball 800 feet over the fence. It's Paul Skenes. That's how you win. It's a guy coming in to shut a game down, throwing 102. Baseball isn't won in the margins. It's won in the glaringly obvious areas that somebody going to their first baseball game of their life could detect. That's how you win, with stars. This margins crap.
Margins, you can win a game or two like that. You can, if you're shorthanded.
Sure.
But as far as 162 games, always it's going to be the teams that have the most talent.